The Kinky Cocktail Hour is brought to you by Motor Bunny, the world's most powerful saddle-style vibrator that offers fabulous creative sexual experiences. We use it and it rotates, it vibrates, and it delivers mind-blowing orgasms. Enjoy Motor Bunny as your favorite sex toy. When you order the Motor Bunny, multiple attachments are included along with the Link controller, which allows wireless control from anywhere. Motor Bunny is the world's most powerful saddle-style vibrator on Earth. Use the link in the show notes and spice up your sex life with a Motor Bunny. You're listening to Kinky Cocktail Hour, a conversation between adults about sex-forward relationships, kinky lifestyles, and frank communication. If you're under 18, please stop listening and visit scarletteen.com. Hi, this is Lady Petra.
I'm Safa Master.
And this is Kinky Cocktail Hour.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hi, I'm Lady Petra, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
And I'm Safa Master, and my pronouns are his, him, and he. So, what are we drinking?
We are drinking a listener-suggested cocktail.
Okay.
Originally, he gave me, you know, the idea was vodka, Malibu, and Coke together, and we thought of a VMC. But I actually looked it up and found that it's called a Creeper Coke.
A Creeper Coke.
And the reason is a lot of people drink Malibu and Coke together. Mm-hmm. But Malibu is a really light rum. I mean, it's not even full rum.
Right.
So if you put the vodka in, you won't taste the vodka, but it gives it more of a kick to the drink. So Creeper Coke.
And who?
And this is from our listener. It's McMahon. It's Dash McMahon on FetLife. So.
Oh, I could drink that all day in the sun.
No, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I didn't this time, but I think you can add lime to it. And it gives a little
bit. It rounded out nicely, yeah.
Yeah. But I wanted to make it close, as close to his thing, so.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Awesome.
So, we had a nice scene today.
Oh, my God.
That wiped me out completely.
Yeah, what is the deal? Yeah, me too. It definitely wiped me out. And it was hugely fun. I mean,
yeah.
I was really in deep subspace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's appropriate because we're going to review the movie Secretary.
Yeah.
And, you know, to literally be living in that space is so amazing, to have a 24/7 dynamic like this.
The icing on the cake is you got me a collar for my neck.
Yes.
Right? Because we had our collar in ceremony last year, but this was my collar.
Right.
And it has a little...
Ring
on it, so you can put a leash on. It came with a leash, and so I've put it on me, and it's been on me basically.
Yeah.
And this was the first time we seemed
with the collar. Yeah.
You know, more of a high protocol scene. So it was pretty exciting.
Very hot.
Yeah. Very hot.
Yeah. Wipe me out.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah. So the Secretary, the movie Secretary.
Yep. Excellent cast.
Great cast. I love that movie. Yeah. I've seen it a bunch of times. I saw it first before I was divorced.
Right.
And God, I fantasized about it.
Right.
Because
of course
there's so much in it that just resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw it after I was divorced, while I was involved in kink.
Right.
And it occurred to me differently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure. Because I was.
Did it change? I mean, like, can you articulate?
Well, I got to be present to some of the experiences that I was having as a dom dealing with a sub, and then watching it with you last night.
We watched it before that.
Well, we watched it before.
Yeah.
And we hadn't committed to our 24/7 scene yet.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And. But last night I watched it like with the intention of reviewing it.
Right.
And I got to experience it newly. I will say that there's a scene at the end of the movie where she's sort of confronting him about, you know, why they can't continue, and he goes, "Well, we can't do this 24/7."
Right.
And she goes, "Why not?"
Mm-hmm.
And I just attached to that moment. like in each of the times I've seen it.
Yeah.
Because when I was married and I watched it and she said that, I was like, God, that would be so amazing.
And that won't happen.
That would happen.
Right.
It's not going
to
happen.
Right.
And now here we are living a 24/7 dynamic.
Totally.
And it falls for me differently. So the whole, there's so much in that movie. I love the movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. So like we were talking as we go, because you had seen it many times. I think I'd seen it once before without even knowing I was seeing it, because I was halfway watching it. And maybe this just shows my kink. I wasn't that overwhelmed by it being super kinky.
Right.
It's kinky for sure. But like when I was watching it, I wasn't like, oh, you know, it was like within my wheelhouse. I was like, okay, you know, just someone doing something different. And so I never sat down to watch it, because I don't think anyone else would watch it with me. And it was, you know, so I was just watching it while I was doing other things. This time, well, we watched it early on in our being together. And it resonated different with me because I am a submissive. And so then I see it myself in that, you know. But I remember seeing it the first time, and there were points that hit home for me. And then we see it again this last time. And even you had made comments the last time and before, and this time, I'd said, oh, she's cutting. She's a cutter. And this doesn't establish all cutters, but this is a general thing. And so I paid attention this time closely to the cutting versus last time. I thought the cutting was part of her masochism. It absolutely was not part of her masochism at all.
Yeah.
This time I saw it because maybe I wasn't paying attention, or I was glorifying the subness of the movie before.
Yeah.
But I'm very clear because I'm familiar with cutters. And she was, you know, she came out of that mental hospital in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
She's struggling with things. Mm-hmm. And cutters usually use their release of stress, and it's a control thing too.
Right.
Is cutting, okay? And you could see very clearly that they were very good about how they did it in the movie to not confuse it with masochism. Now, that's completely different than someone who likes to be cut in a masochistic way, in a sexual reference. That's completely different. People do that.
Right.
That is not a cutter. That is something completely different.
There was one scene in the movie where she's confronted by her parents fighting.
Yeah.
And she takes the hot kettle and
burns herself.
With it.
Yeah.
And that fell into the same space. She's really just trying to get away.
Yeah,
from
she wasn't
the emotional...
getting off on it or trying to even get off to escape from the stress.
No.
She didn't know how to manage her stress, and that was one of her outlets. I mean.
Right.
That happens.
And see, and I know that what you're saying is accurate, because in the context of her becoming present to Mr. Gray as a dom, he tells her, you're not going to do that again. And that's it. And she doesn't. She throws away her cutting tools.
If you think about all the stuff that led up to that, you know, as a dominant who is taking care of his toys or, you know, his play partner, he worked on bettering her, helping her better herself.
Yeah.
Because part of the cutting, too, is the not seeing yourself as adequate, and this is your, you know, those kinds of things. Because I've watched cutters over the years who I've been closely involved with. It's usually, they also have a self-esteem issues are going on. There.
Sure.
There's other things going on that are compounding things.
Yeah,
identity issues, could be sexual identity issues.
Right.
And then once they get more clear on who they are and their authentic self, and they're okay in their skin, usually you see that dissipate. Not always, but I'm not speaking for all cutters. I'm just the experience that I've had, and I've probably been through my life, I've dealt with about 15 cutters.
Wow.
So lots of experience, and over multiple years I've been with them. So I think when I saw that, I was crystal clear, and I applaud them for correctly doing that and not confusing the issue, because that could create, with a vanilla person watching it, confusing.
Well, I mean, I certainly hadn't made that differentiation until you pointed it out to me.
Yeah.
I just assumed that was part of her masochism.
Yeah, but it's different.
Yeah, completely.
And then, you know, as you flash forward, she's starting to, she doesn't have these mannerisms that are irritating, sniffles, and she quits playing with her hair, and she starts dressing nicer, and
Granted, she talks with a bigger voice.
Yeah, bigger voice.
She goes to get some exercise. She walks home every day.
Yeah, yeah.
She starts to grow into her adulthood.
He gives her permission. Like, she made a big point about this on the first day you sent her home to walk on her own. Like, you're a big girl. You don't need your mom picking you up, right. Which is totally true. Because she was a couple of years, two or three, at least, out of high school.
Yeah, she was over 21.
Yeah, exactly. So she didn't need that anymore. And right. So he giving her permission, well, first of all, telling her not to cut anymore, and then giving her permission to walk home and renew herself. He told her that the walk was about not a punishment, like, you now have to walk home because that's what you have to do. It was nurturing, and she felt she walked into that. So, like, even when she dumps her cutting tools into the river on her walk home, that's profound. It's on the walk that's giving her life, let's say.
Yeah.
That's where she dumps her baggage from her past.
Yeah, the first day she walked home through the park, she suddenly becomes present to the park.
Yeah, and you referenced that she was being.
She was being present, right. Mm-hmm. She actually, you know, speaks into seeing the park newly. And that's all part of this whole experience that we've discovered in kink, is that you really do get to be present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then their relationship evolves, and he gradually sort of takes on being a lot more aggressively dominant.
Mm-hmm. I think he's toying with it because I think he's questioning himself.
So but he is, but at that
experimenting.
What happened was, you know, the movie opens up with a scene with her wearing a yoke, and sort of dealing with, like, typing and making tea and delivering it, and
all with his yoke on.
And that was only 6 months into their, right? Because I said 6 months earlier.
Yeah.
The next scene is 6 months earlier, and they sort of get to that point.
Right.
And so, like his deep dive with her into kink was pretty aggressive, because, you know, she's there 6 months, and all of a sudden she's wearing a yoke, she's crawling through the office,
she's an employee. So the reality is she's not, like, living in his house or going to his home for meetings. They haven't had any sex.
No, she's getting spankings.
Yeah.
She's getting disciplined around her typing and so on. You know, there's just a lot of, like, that kind of experience. And then all of a sudden he, like, cuts it off. And like, it's... See, as a dom, I get what he was dealing with. I get that he was freaked out by
the experience. But he
should have his communication wasn't good. There are a couple places.
We mentioned that on and on, that their communication was really bad. And if you talk about our podcast yesterday about red flags, mm-hmm. his cutting her off is like an abandonment.
Totally.
And so it's bad behavior.
It's a red flag, yeah.
However, I don't think, even though he's a dominant, and I think he's played with this for a while, but it's never gotten to a full expression where it did finally with her. I think it scared him, like you say.
Yeah.
And he recoiled because he didn't know. Because he had never gone that far before.
Exactly.
But I think he needed to think that through a little bit better.
Well, you know, we talked about how he didn't get consent the first time he spanked her.
Yeah, there was no consent.
There was no consent. So there's some breakdowns in the communication, and I think they missed opportunities in the movie.
Yeah, it'd be neat to have it redone in a way where you see kink being followed through on in an integral way.
With more integrity, yeah. But you know, you do get the sense that he was a little bit freaked out by himself. He writes to her about... Well, the scene that preceded that was... He bends her over the desk like he's going to spank her, but he tells her to pull down her pants, and he masturbates on her.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "I'm not going to fuck you. I'm just going to." And then he just stands behind her and masturbates on her,
and he comes on her back.
And then she goes to the bathroom.
He dribbles all over himself.
Yeah,
too.
But she goes to the bathroom and she masturbates because that's, like, so hot as far as she's concerned. They still haven't had sex, and you know, there are flash scenes that you see from their first 6 months. Like, there's one scene where he saddles her like a horse and puts a carrot in her mouth.
Yeah,
you know, so they're flash scenes of them doing, like, sort of interesting kink, but you don't get the sense that they're having sex. And then he cuts it off, and he starts to write her a note about how he doesn't know why he's like this, and he's really apologizing.
Yeah, he's doing that on his own, and he's self chastising himself, basically, for what you know, it's amazing because we talk about shame and kink.
Right.
And, you know, like, for example, today when we went on our walk, we needed to walk after that sex scene. And so I've got my collar on. So the other day someone came to repair something in our apartment. I have my collar on. Right. I forgot. I meet the repairman at the door. I'm just looking at his eyes, and I can't figure out. He's looking all over, but I'm also a woman, so I'm thinking, okay, no big deal. I'm dealing with him in the apartment to get something fixed, and I recognize he just can't keep staring. And then, you know, and I fiddle with my ring a lot just out of habit, and I reached up, and I was like, oh, he sees my collar. Oh, well, he sees my collar. You know, and so, like, when we go on a walk, to not cause a huge stir, because I'm not embarrassed of it, but we're trying to, you know, create less of a stir.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood. I put a kerchief over my collar. Yeah, a
scarf or something.
Yeah. And it's just fascinating.
Right. So it sort of gets at that there is this context that he has about shame for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But his, instead of talking to her about it,
he
just terminates the relationship. He pays her off and kicks her out. And she's left, you know, having become more aware of herself as a submissive.
Mm-hmm.
Not I mean, somebody called her a submissive, but she doesn't really get it. But she's definitely feeling fulfilled as a submissive in that relationship.
Well, think about how she's changed. She's no longer cutting.
Right.
She's dressing nicer. She has a life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, he cuts her off at the knees. Meanwhile, on the side, because she isn't having sex with him, she's having sex with this high school boyfriend.
Or trying to relate to him.
Yeah. Well, they had sex the one time, you know.
Yeah, I think it was after they did.
They did have sex. I mean,
but it was after he cut her off. Yeah,
it was after. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And so then, no, they were dating because he said, "Did you?" He asked her point blank, "Did you fuck him?" or something like that.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So then, you have to imagine she's still a sexual being, and so she's trying to figure out how to be normal, whatever that is.
Yeah.
In a vanilla world, and so she tries to relate to him. I'm sure they're still having sex. She's going to get married to him, all these things.
Yeah.
Because she thinks her life needs to go on.
Right.
Right? All this is story. And then, you know, she gets an epiphany that this is not her authentic self.
Before that, while in a scene where they're going to have sex, she tries to get him to spank her.
Oh, of course. She tries to elicit the boyfriend to see if there's a chance that he could fill that void.
Yeah, because she's clear like what she needs.
Yeah.
But he can't do it.
But she wasn't going back to cutting is what I'm saying.
No.
And even there were some pretty traumatic events because like after he cut her off, she even went to his home.
Yes, and, to confront him.
Try to confront him, but it just didn't work out.
Right.
Went to the door, talked to him for a moment there. Basically, he rebuffed her and said that, okay, that's it. And they didn't get anything talked about. And she turned around and had the same look she did every other time she went to cut. But now she can't.
Right.
And why is it she can't? Because he's dropped her, right, supposedly. Right. Because she's a submissive, and she's still submissive to him. That was the clarity I knew right then that she absolutely looked like, oh, this is a cutting moment. This is a stressful cutting moment. And she didn't do it, right?
Right.
But I was clear, obviously she's attached, but it was much more than that, profound for me as a submissive, that she was already attached to him, already submissive to him. Not just submissive to him.
She chose him. Right.
And so then as the movie progresses, and she knows her authentic self, and dares to leave the wedding.
Well, yeah, she's about to get married.
Yeah, she's getting in the dress. I mean, the whole nine yards, right? Yeah.
And she literally, in her wedding dress, goes to his office to confront him.
Yeah.
And
he's not prepared for that.
He's completely unprepared. Like, as far as he's concerned, he's ended it.
Well, and he's acting like a dominant where, I'm not saying any of his behavior is right, but he's like, he's in charge, right? So he says, I can't deal with this, so it's cut off, and that's the decision. And boom, that's his decision. And he, as a dominant, is just, that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And so when she comes back, he's not prepared for that.
No.
He's very, like, systematically ordered, and anything out of that context was sets him awry. So she knew that.
Right.
She knew that and used that to make him listen.
Yeah, and actually it took her slapping his face to get his attention.
Yeah, because he was telling her
still not dealing with it.
Well, and then she sat down, and then the slap got his attention, and then she sat down, and she's a brat in the movie off and on.
Well, it's in that scene where he says to her, "We can't do this 24/7." She goes, "Why not?
Why not?"
And then she
plops down.
And she plops herself down in the chair at his desk.
Not yet.
He says to her, "Put your hands on the desk." Well, she puts a hand on the desk.
Yeah, she was already there.
And he says to her, "Well, keep your feet on the floor until I tell you."
Until
I come back. And he leaves.
And he leaves for days.
Yeah, several days.
Because there was a news thing about this is the third day.
Yeah. And she's committed. And then...
Well, and she's not eating.
She's not eating, and she's sitting there, and the boyfriend comes to try and get her, and...
And no one knows why, you know, the boyfriend pulled her off the table at one point while the Don was watching through the window.
Yeah.
And she basically kicks his ass and then gets right back into the same position.
Right.
So it's just another statement of her commitment to who she knows who she is.
Absolutely knows who she is.
I mean, I love the dramatic license they use with that because that is... As a submissive, I can totally relate with that because that's the commitment I have.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm very protective of you and very, like, making sure you're okay and all those things. And so when you're in that situation and you're trying to say, I'm fighting for what's important, I'm fucking fighting for what's important. Yes, for sure.
And then it takes a few days, but he eventually... comes and
I
gets
think he's
her.
Overwhelmed.
He is.
He watches her day after day because he came creeping at her a couple days in a row, and I think he's just overwhelmed that someone would do that.
Well, what he's present to, and I can sort of see into his heart as a dom. Right? Mm-hmm. What he's present to is the realization that the submissive has chosen him. That's what he's present to,
which makes him a dominant.
Which truly makes him a dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's confronted by, like, a lot of the self-disgust that he's had at the things that he's expecting her to do and done with her in the past. And he has to get over that. He has to get over that and just come to terms with who he is and live into his own self-expression as a dominant. And he finally, like, makes the choice and comes in and gives her something to drink and carries her off. Carries her upstairs,
they get married.
It's a very beautiful scene, right? It it's her, like him finally bringing her into his life in the complete
and he's
way.
And actualized, too. He's
actualized,
He becomes authentic. I think if I go back a little bit, one of the moments I kept looking at things he did, and of course, I don't know if, you know, people love to talk about kink and make it. The average public will say, those are weird people or weirdos. They try to shame.
Right.
Because they don't understand it. And whatever. And so they did that a little bit with him. He had this dom behavior like that was weird. Well, let's just say men tend to have a predisposition. Doesn't mean they are. But they have a head start on women at being dominant, just purely by hormones. So I think that's weird that they would do that. And then they showed all these particular things he did as if every dom fits into that category, which is not true.
Right.
They may. But some of the quirky things he did was all... I know that they might have put it in there to make him look quirky, but I looked at it as these are things that he's doing because he's shamed by his own kink.
Yes.
And he has to do things in secret. So... Remember they were sitting there before when he told her not to cut anymore on the couch? And then he like weirdly reaches back, grabs his Polaroid and quickly takes a picture of her. You know, and gets this Polaroid picture. Which is fine. Not taking a picture of a submiss or whatever. Any picture doesn't matter. No. It's the way he did it was so weird, like creepy. And then later you see him, he has a file on her that he burns with all these different Polaroids, which I'm sure he was looking at whenever, jacking off to, whatever. I mean, can you imagine?
Well, he was very clear that she was unusual. Like he said so in the first meeting that they had.
You have a
like
wall.
There's something about you.
Yeah.
Right? And he was, this is the thing, like I saw you when I saw you, which was long before you saw yourself.
Did you see me? Before we met. Or after we met, you saw me.
It was when we met
that I saw you. That was a long meeting, but yeah.
Yeah. But after that, I could speak about that I see you as you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, I get that he saw her.
Totally.
And so then he was, like, for 6 months, you know, he just said, okay, cool, I'm going to play with this woman.
Yeah.
And they played.
Yeah.
And we don't get that they were having sex, but we do know that they were doing scenes.
They were doing a power exchange. Right. Yeah.
Well, we get to the end of the movie, and he gets to shed his shame and live into his self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, the last scenes of the movie are very powerful.
After they get married, they go up in the mountains.
Even before that, just that whole scene with him bathing her.
Oh, yeah.
And they lay together, and then she gets, like, super interested in him. You know, tell me where you went to school and what they say in your yearbook.
Well, I think she wanted to know all those things before, right. But they didn't have the connection.
Right.
Because it was employer, right. Employee, even though they were doing that
stuff. But here's the point.
Yeah.
He saw her early, and she saw him when she saw him, but they didn't really get to relate till toward the end of the movie. And so now what you have is this potential for relationship that wasn't present in the first part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have potential for a relationship, and then they go off and get married, and then they're in relationship, and their wedding scene was, I mean, their honeymoon scene was great with him banging her on the tree. I just love that.
Bondage, yeah.
That was like my hottest. That was the hottest.
Yeah, no, it's super hot, but that's him being fully expressed.
Self-expressed, yeah. And then she gets to be fully self-expressed now. So they make the bed, and she drops the bug on the bed, so she's like a brat.
Because she's a brat.
She wants to get a spanking.
And she's done that before.
Totally.
Yeah, the worm in the envelope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought it was incredibly well done. I think there's still things that I think that they could do better,
mm-hmm.
like especially around consent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a kink film, it's probably the best kink film that I've seen. That deals with so many layers. You know, you've got the personality issues that she has to deal with as a submissive from being somebody who has no self-respect to somebody who has a great deal of self-respect. And his experience of somebody who has no self-respect to somebody who has a great deal of self-respect. And they find it in each other, and they create each other that way. It's really quite profound.
Yeah, I think that was profound. One of the moments that also spoke to me about when we were talking about red flags was the idolization. So there's a point in the film where she starts to copy him
right.
in a lot of ways, which is kind of an idolization. The
whole
orchid thing. She starts to have it. But I think after his rebuffing of her, it forced her to get clarity on who she was.
Yeah.
And like, and she was pretty despondent. Like, okay, what's the rest of my life going to be like now? Because I know it's going to be predictable. She had a dysfunctional parent. You know, parents who were, marriage was very abusive and dysfunctional. Right. So she's
alcoholic father.
Yeah, she's just not wanting that. But she thinks the high school guy is going to kind of fit the bill for, I guess I could marry this guy, which is crazy because I feel that so much. Like, I guess I could marry you because you're the only one here.
Right.
So that's the way the party's going to go. I know it sounds terrible, but that's really how it happened. And so when that happens in the scene, I was like so moved, like, oh, yeah, that sucks. But she becomes present. And I don't think there was this idol thing going on anymore. What she was very present to was who she was.
Yeah.
And basically saying, I want to choose you. I'm choosing you, basically, by her actions. And then he had to deal with it. I mean, she forced his hand to deal
totally
with it.
She totally did,
which kind of lends to, I forced your hand a little bit.
A little
not
bit.
On, I don't think I had.
It wasn't on purpose.
I didn't think I had it on purpose, but I think I forced your hand a little bit too.
Yeah.
But I think we're better for it anyway, so.
Yeah. No, I highly recommend that. That's a great kink movie. I think you should, if you haven't seen it, you should totally see it.
Yeah, and Snowberry 63, she's the one that suggested we see that. We've seen it before, but we wanted to see it and review it so we could give her feedback. So, yeah.
So, well done.
Awesome. That's it for today. You can find us on your favorite podcast directory. We also have an RSS feed. If you're interested in online coaching for kinksters or online domination, you can visit our Patreon website at Lady Petra Playground. And if you're having comments or suggestions or drink ideas for our podcast, you can email me at ladypetrickplayground@gmail.com.
That's it.
That's it.
Cheers.
Cheers.